Our scripture for today is found in the book of James, in chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, and this is what we find written there. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And this is the word of God. I think for people of God, that doesn't go to 18. Thanks be to God. Amen. Today we want to talk about prayer's healing power. Prayer's healing power. When we think about prayer, we often think about a conversation that someone is having with God. What we sometimes fail to acknowledge is that there is a healing power in prayer. Now, I think when we say the healing power in prayer, we're most often led to think about some miracle that leads to some physical recovery of the body. I believe we see prayer as an instrument that opens the door for God to come in and do exactly what we want God to do. Whether it's a relationship that's broken or a friend or a relative that's sick, we want to believe that if we pray hard enough and believe deeply enough, that somehow God is going to burst through the veil between body, mind, and spirit in a mighty way and fix whatever it is we're praying for. But if we really take seriously what James is offering, we might just come to understand prayer's healing power in a more realistic and dynamic way. James has always been the pragmatist. If James has anything to say, he gets right to the point, unlike me. He says what he means, and he means what he says. The prescriptions he recommends about how we minister to those who are hurting are not asked without the idea that something powerful and positive and effective comes from prayer. In every situation of the human condition, James sees the opportunity for us to join with each other in an active relationship with each other through Jesus Christ. For James, it doesn't matter if we're suffering physically or spiritually or emotionally or relationally, the answer for it all is found through prayer. But it's not prayer that's in a way that's difficult to understand, nor is prayer done in a way that is abstract. There's nothing by what James says to suggest that he isn't in favor of private prayer. Often because we sometimes are very secretive about what's going on in our lives, we're the only ones who really know what our problem is. So to pray to God about what's going on in our lives is advised. But James manages to take prayer a step further to a whole nother level. James believes in corporate and private prayer. He invites us to make prayer an event for the community of the church. And it's not prayer for some distant event that James has in mind. He suggests gathering around the one who is sick as a community of believers and praying for the one who is sick while in their presence. He suggests that when our individual relationship with God is broken, that along with going to God, we also invite each other into the brokenness of each other's lives in order to pray for one another. He promotes the idea that we share among each other those places in our lives where we have fallen out of relationship with God and one another, confessing our brokenness to one another. He believes that confessing to each other should be a part of our prayer life so that forgiveness, God's response to our prayers for healing our broken spirits and that broken relationship, would result in a restored relationship with God and with each other. And he simply suggests that the prayer of the righteous is powerful enough to accomplish this. Now, someone has suggested that the righteous are those who have done nothing wrong. But I believe that when James talks about the prayers of the righteous as powerful and effective, he's talking about those who have been justified by their faith in God through Jesus Christ. That this powerful and effective prayer exists for no other reason than that we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. This power is not from those who are trying to stand on their own righteousness. It is power that comes from God. In a time when people believe that sickness and sin were related, James offers an opportunity to pray. At a time when sin was understood to be the reason for a broken relationship with God and each other, James invites us to pray. And his reasons are clear. It's so that we will be healed. It's so that the healing power of God through prayer may take effect both in us and in the person being prayed for. You see, friends, prayer for those who suffer is the instrument of ministry that brings healing. Prayer for those who are suffering is an instrument of ministry that brings healing. Suffering is fairly common to the human condition, and people feel it in a variety of ways. We experience suffering in our loneliness. We experience suffering when our bodies ache. We experience suffering when our feelings have been hurt and our emotions have been bruised. We experience suffering when we realize we haven't unintentionally hurt others through many of the thoughtless things we say or do. And often that suffering results in some form of a broken relationship, whether it's a broken relationship with God, resulting in a loss of faith because God has not responded to our prayers as we've asked, or a broken relationship with our friends because they've not asked for our forgiveness or accepted our apologies. We can suffer because of a loss of faith in our doctors or the medical industry because they haven't been able to find an answer for our suffering. And so it seems simplistic to say pray. It seems too easy to just say, pray. And if we say pray, then suddenly we'll be healed. And though I've seen it happen, I'm not so sure that it's that simple. You see, there may be something to prayer that's connected to our faith that invites the healing to come. Sometimes the healing comes from a source that's not outside of us, but is already present within us. There's a story about a man, he was involved in a case study. He's simply referred to as Steve T. He was from Florence, Kansas. That's about 25 miles west of here. And he tells a story of his daughter who was suffering from anorexia and bulimia. And she was undergoing treatment right over here at Baptist Medical Center here in Kansas City. And on one particularly difficult day, she was told to drink a glass of milk. Simple thing, just drink a glass of milk. But she just couldn't bring herself to do it. She couldn't do it. And so they called her doctor in. And he sat down beside her on the bed and he said, "Now you're a Christian woman, aren't you?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, Do you remember the man that Jesus healed beside the pool at Siloam?" She said, "Jesus spit in the ground and he put mud and he put it on his eyes and he was healed." She said, "Yeah." Said, "But you realize it wasn't really the mud that healed him?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "What was it that really healed him?" She said, "His faith." He said, "Good. You see that glass of milk over there?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Now drink your mud." Her healing was in her faith to drink the milk that it would help her. Now, I can't help but to believe that her parents were praying for her recovery, that her friends were praying for her restoration. I imagine that even her doctor, who must have also been a Christian and brought to her spiritual memory the story about the pool at Siloam, I imagine that he was praying for her as she suffered. And it was because of those prayers on her behalf that she was on the road to healing and restoration. It was because of those prayers that she was able to see the benefit of her own healing faith. Prayer for our suffering brings healing in ways that is sometimes more conventional and just as powerful as the miracles that our minds tell us we should expect. Sometimes prayer gives us the courage to take our medicine, which prayer prescribes by faith. And it's that prayer which ultimately brings an end to our suffering. But whatever the outcome, it is frequently prayer that is the instrument of ministry in our healing process. And if prayer is the instrument in our healing process, if prayer is the instrument in our healing process, then the idea of having others come and pray with us, anointing us with oil in the name of the Lord, is really more than our feeble attempt to get God to do a miracle for us. Prayer's healing power is more subtle and more powerful than that. The power of prayer in every situation where healing is the issue is as much about building up and strengthening the community of faith as it is about wanting someone who is sick to be restored. Now, maybe we don't think about it that way, and maybe we don't think of it that way because we see prayer as an end in itself, as a last resort. Prayer becomes one of those, well, and nothing to do now but pray. Nothing to do now but pray. Prayer becomes one of those last ditch scenarios where prayer becomes something we go to after we've done all that we can do. Something that thereby for us becomes merely a means to an end. And yet prayer is really more than merely a means to an end. Prayer becomes something much more powerful, much more relational, much more spiritual, and much more educational. In the movie, Morgan Freeman played the role of God in the movie Evan Almighty. And if you've seen the movie, then you remember that Evan was told to build an ark. He was having some problems with that. But Evan's wife was sitting in a diner in distress. And she's having some serious questions about her husband. Evan is doing what she can't make sense of. And she asked him about it. God. And she gets her answer. But it's not the answer she expected. Watch and listen. And we might just find out something about prayer that we didn't expect.
Oh, excuse me, can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up. Excuse me, are you all right?
Yeah. No, it's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband, have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Knowing the ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. They stood by each other, side by side, just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the ark, side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays with patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage, or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
Sounds too simple. And I want to tell you that I openly and strongly resist theology that is motivated and perpetrated by Hollywood pictures, especially when it comes to something as serious as the ministry of prayer. But many of us have been there, standing around the bed of our sick and dying friends, hoping for a miracle, hoping that God would step in and do something, anything that would ease our burden of disease. Many of us have been in a situation where we've prayed to God for a different outcome to our situation, only to end up having to suffer through the raging storms of life or end of a relationship or to bury a loved one. We've lived through those times when our prayers seemed to fall on what seemed to be God's deaf ears. But maybe when James invites us to come together as a community to pray for each other, to confess our sins to one another, maybe it really is God providing us with an opportunity. Maybe it's God throwing open the door of opportunity to join with our brothers and sisters in their suffering. Maybe that's why Paul says to the church at Corinth, God has so arranged the body, giving greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. I wonder if praying together for one another, with each other, around each other, and anointing each other is really an opportunity for us as the body of Christ to experience each other's suffering, to experience each other's rejoicing. Just maybe it's an opportunity for us through our prayers to show our communal suffering for each other, to bring healing to our own broken relationships from God or from one another or a friend or a loved one. Maybe offering prayer and anointing a person with oil really is an opportunity for us and that person to reconnect to God in ways in which they find forgiveness for whatever sin they might be suffering from emotionally, relationally, spiritually, or physically. Perhaps it's in the confession of our brokenness to God that we're afforded the opportunity to forgive each other, to build relationships with each other, which through prayer has a healing property more powerful than any prescription any pharmacy can prescribe. If for no other reason, then we're all a part of the same body. And if one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. Has anybody ever put on a pair of shoes that was maybe just a little bit too small? And you're all right early in the evening, you can make it, but eventually that little toe starts hurting. And it causes discomfort all throughout the body. And it's even worse when you take the shoe off. But just for a moment. Because in that moment you thank God that you were able to get that shoe off, and relief comes. Maybe praying for one another as a community is an opportunity to bring God's healing power to mind, body, spirit, and relationship into the midst of our relationship to help us set our relationship with God and each other in order. Or perhaps it just might be because when we are standing around a friend or a loved one, we're able to offer our best and most powerful prayer because it is there in that moment that we find ourselves helpless and in need of that power which only God can provide. It's there in that moment of helplessness that prayer calls from our heart to the heart of God with greater effect than all of our uttered words and pleas. And God hears it from the very moment that we are seized with helplessness and becomes actively engaged at one in hearing and answering the prayer of our helplessness. God hears today as God heard the helpless and wordless prayer of the man who was sick with palsy. And maybe that's why Paul said, when you can't find the words to pray, there is something inside of you that calls out to God with groans too deep for for words. And there are none of us more helpless than we are when we stand before God and our sins are before us like a scarlet thread on pure white wool. And we stand there weak and helpless and unable to do anything on our own, but become totally dependent upon God to deal with our diseases. It's then that our confession leads to forgiveness and healing. And confession before those who understand God's grace is a healing enterprise that sets us free and enables us to find healing and wholeness with God and with each other. It allows us to express our humanness, preventing us from living lives of pretense and pride as if we had no sins to address or confess. And so it is that prayer's healing power is found not in the saying of the prayer and not in the whispering of words to God's ears. Prayer's healing power comes when we are restored to each other and to God. Prayer's healing power comes with the restored relationships created by our petitions to God on behalf of each other. Prayer's healing power is ignited by broken people redeemed by grace who are willing to stand and pray on behalf of others. Prayer's healing power is magnified when we are fully able to empathize with those who are suffering. Their suffering makes our suffering more personal and real. Prayer's healing power comes when we are restored to a healthy, whole, and forgiven relationship with God and each other. And it is the power of God through prayer, confessing our own shortcomings and find ourselves standing in the presence of our God, whose habit it is to be merciful and whose grace extends to us to make us healed and whole, if not of body, then with a blessed assurance, the healing of our spirits. So let us pray with one another and for one another, so that prayer's healing power can be made manifest in the life of each of us and our church. It is God's will and will go a long way toward us truly becoming living examples of Christ's love, active in service to our community. And that, brothers and sisters, is the word of God for the people of God.